This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We were going to do a play of the day here, and then Fritzy goes, there's somebody who wants to talk to you. And I was like, who? I said, Chris Maloney. And he goes, yes, as a matter of fact. Now, of course, great actor, and I ran into him on Saturday night, and the Law & Order actor was there, and I was there with my daughters and trying to impress my daughters that being a celebrity, I know a celebrity. And Chris Maloney was there. And it was a little awkward interaction there between us because I don't know if Chris knew who I was. Yes, Paul.
The way you described yesterday was one of the most embarrassing experiences in recent memory in front of your family, where a fellow TV star had no idea who you were. Is that a fair recap?
I would say that would be close to it. Yes, Eaton.
And then you tried to resolve the situation by insulting his basketball ability.
I think I did that too. I kept thinking, how am I going wrong here? Is Chris Maloney?
He sure is.
The star of Law and Order. Hi, Chris.
Really awkward.
How would you describe what happened on Saturday night at the restaurant?
Well, you know, why don't we break it down? I was in the middle of eating. There was a blitz attack from my right flank. You came out of nowhere, like out of the mist. I immediately recognized you. You know, that soft, velvety
tone.
That you possess when you said, hey, Chris, I'm Dan Patrick.
Sportscaster.
And, you know, say it again?
I said Dan Patrick, sportscaster, because I thought you might not realize that.
Just in case.
And I think you said, okay.
You know, and that's where I think everything went south. I think it's on me. I don't know. You surprised me. Maybe, you know, that's what it was. I don't know.
I was just looking for a little glimmer of, yeah, man, SportsCenter, man, I miss you.
Well, you see, I replayed it for my wife because I said, yeah, Dan was like, you know, felt like I was shining him a bit. She goes, no, she said, it sounded to me like you recognized him. She goes, did you know who he was? Because, you know, I can play act that way. And I do know who you are. I mean, I'm a big fan of yours.
But why didn't you act like you were a big fan of mine?
Wow. I don't know. You know, celebrities playing it cool. Isn't that what we
do? Yeah, but I didn't play it cool.
Yeah, but see, you were under duress, and I knew it. You were thrown into the fray.
Yes.
You were put to the front. You know, you put into the meat grinder. You have three daughters?
Yeah.
I was like, holy cow, that's a lot of pressure on this man right now. So maybe, you know, I should have given you a little bit more love there. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Chris. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
This was a big topic yesterday on the show, Chris. I don't know if anybody reached out and told you that you're trending.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. My line was blown up saying how I'd blown you up. humiliated the man in front of his family.
Oh, my oldest daughter, she just said, "Dad, do you know him?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I did. He's been on the show. Could you just say hello?" Because my daughter, you know, that she's watched, you know, old show, new show, you know, she knows it all. And I go over there and I go, "Okay, I think I got this." And I think I was waiting to see, I don't think you were eating.
No.
And I wanted to make sure I was being polite. And I thought, okay, I'll just slip in. And then I think I was desperate. At one point I said, "Ann, I don't know about your basketball playing." And like, I don't even know where that came from. And I was wounded and I was going to hurt you and like you hurt me.
I felt like you were lashing out. That's okay. I know what happens.
What do you bench in these days, Chris?
Oh, you know, at my age, I don't really count.
I should have asked you that. You know, at one point I go, "Oh, so do you live in the neighborhood?" He goes, "Yeah." I do. And then I had to tell him that, yeah, well, I kind of live in the neighborhood too. There was no follow up there. It was.
Well, you wanted to find a commonality.
Yes,
because
I did.
When you introduce yourself and someone says, "Oh, okay," yeah, that's not a bridging comment.
I know.
I'll give you that.
I know. But this is a teaching moment for you.
Well, I think for both of us, because, you know, Dan, and I'm not criticizing here, but you came in a little tentative. You know what I mean? You have to come in with a little like, "Hey, Chris," and, you know, then we're like, "Oh, hey, Dan." Like, you know, we belong in this mutual space together.
Oh, okay.
I'm not trying to pass the buck. I readily admit the, "Oh, okay," is not a good
okay. Okay, where are you going to dinner this weekend? And then I can find you, okay? And I'll tell my kids that you're not going to be there. It'll be random.
Right.
And then you hug me?
Yep. Yep.
Maybe, guess, "Hey, you want to be on the show?" And I'd be like, "Oh, do you want me to?" "No, I can't do that. I only act in Sandler movies. Come on, Chris."
And I'll say, I insist. I've seen your eyes and I see your acting chops.
I like that. Are you in the celebrity bracket challenge that we have?
No, I don't even know what that is. I'm sorry.
Are you a basketball fan? College?
Oh, you know, I know the brackets just came out, and you know, so I haven't, but I'm gonna dig into it, and I'll find it. I'm still just trying to find a way to have my Commanders win more than 500% on the games in a season.
And you just lost Taylor Heinicke. He signed with the Falcons. If you know what, if Daniel Snyder, why does
Dan,
it?
I feel as though you're lashing out again.
Oh, I'm sorry, but how about this? Daniel Snyder gives a finger to the rest of the owners, signs Lamar Jackson away from the Ravens, and then sells the team. What do you think?
Big move.
Yeah. That'd be an upgrade over Sam Howell as your quarterback. I'm sorry. I don't need to be lashing out again.
No. But it's a fact. You know, I mean, Lamar's a proven weapon.
How's the new TV show, by the way?
It's going very well.
Organized Crime.
Going organized crime going very well every Thursday night. So we, you know, tune in and we'll be organizing our crime and doing our thing.
If I was going to attach a word to it, I'd say gritty.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
You want to compliment me? I mean, before we go?
Well, if I were to use a word, I would say informative.
Informative.
Entertaining.
Informative.
Your show.
Are you acting right now?
Oh, no. Look at my eyeball.
You are. Oh, okay. Wow. You're serious now. Now De Niro's on the show. Okay. All right. Thank you. You're good. You're a good sport. But next time. Hugs, baby. Hugs. Yeah.
Yep. You got it.
Yeah. And like a couple of pats on the back. I like that too.
Yep. Yep. Have your producers give me your number. I'll inform you where I'll be eating every weekend up and through.
Problem solved.
Done.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
My pleasure.
There. We've solved it. We solved that. It was awkward for Chris as well.
Kumbaya.
Yes.
Don't you feel so much better now?
Yes. Oh,
what a great thing Chris just gave you.
Yes,
there.
He did.
Gave you a gift right there.
What a mensch. He called right in.
But he does know that he made a mistake. The celebrity rules. But apology accepted, Chris. Apology accepted.
He played it cool.
Jim Boeheim going to join us coming up next hour. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite. You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
He's the Hall of Fame head coach, former Syracuse head coach. I didn't think I would stay in the job long enough to say that you were the former Syracuse head coach, but I somehow outlasted you, Jim. Jim Boeheim joining us on the program. How's retirement treating you, Jim?
Like a 200-pound weight off my shoulders. You know, when you do something for 47 years, you just think it's normal how you feel. But when you do retire, I'm in Detroit now watching Buddy last night play for the Pistons. They actually got a win, and he played. But I'd have been sitting in New York City watching a high school game and running to different gyms. So I don't think I realized how nice this is to be able to come see your son, and I've been here for 4 days. I think that's the longest time I've ever spent away from basketball in 47 years. So, I mean, I can't tell you how happy I am. And the fact that you've outlasted me is really a testament to mediocrity prevailing. I mean, come on.
I appreciate that. I outlasted you, Coach K, Jay Wright, Roy Williams. I'm going to take them all down. Take them all down, well, Jim.
I remember sitting in the room with the Big East with John Thompson, Lou Carnesecca, Rick Pitino, Gary Williams, Jim Calhoun, and thinking, whew, this isn't an easy room right here. And somehow I outlasted all of them.
I mean, your career can't end in Greensboro, North Carolina. I mean, it should have. It should have ended at Madison Square Garden.
Well, you know, things change. I think that's the big thing in sports. Things change over the years, and you have to adjust to it. It's a whole new world now with the NIL, with, it's immediate transfer portal. They're good things, and I think for the players, they'll end up being good. But it's a tremendous adjustment, and I think all colleges are trying to work their way through it. Some of it is troubling, as I've famously said in the last few months, but I don't think there's a solution for it. And I just think that, coaches, schools are going to have to deal with it as we move forward. The NIL in itself was a great idea, but once you get the boosters involved and money involved, you know, it's going to go its own way.
All right, let's put this to bed. When did you decide to retire?
You know, I thought about it halfway through the year a little bit because I was having trouble motivating myself to get places, like practice, which is important. But the four-game losing streak, we had a pretty good year up until then. We were 16-10, young team, but I didn't coach well. We didn't play well. We got beat four games by 20 points each game. It just didn't feel good. Didn't feel like I was doing what I needed to do. We had a communications problem because I had a year. We had to work out our contract, and the chancellor was out of town. So things came up early. Bad scene, bad announcement. But we corrected everything in Syracuse with our press conference. I'll be at the university doing stuff, not a lot of stuff, it's a great party. I came to Syracuse, Dan, 61 years ago, and I never left. It's never happened before. I never had to leave. I was a player, assistant coach, grad assistant coach, head coach. It's been a great time. I just feel so fortunate to have been able to do what I've done at one place for so long.
But why was it awkward there with that
you know,
loss?
We hadn't worked some things out that had to be worked out. You know, it was simple. It wasn't difficult. It took 30 minutes to work it out. And it's unfortunate that we didn't get it worked out ahead of time, you know, but that's a minor thing. You know, at the end of the day, everybody's happy. Adrian Autry is going to do a great job, played for me, smart player, hard worker, really good coach. He's got great people with him.
But it didn't feel like you wanted. It didn't feel like you wanted to retire.
No, I trust me.
Okay.
I was 100% ready. It looked that way, and I get that, but I was 100% ready. If I wasn't, I'd tell you. You know that. I would tell you. I 100% ready. It just wasn't. We just didn't. And it wasn't just the university's fault. It was really both parties. And it's all worked out. We're all happy. We've got a great coach. I wanted to coach this year. We had six young players, five freshmen, transfer, sophomore, another sophomore. And I thought we got through the year okay, not great, but okay. And I think we're in a pretty good position because we have every guy could come back. Of course, in college basketball, that's not something that usually happens today's world. But I think most of them will come back, and I think we'll have a good team next year. And that's really all I'm concerned about.
He's Jim Boeheim, the Hall of Famer, now former coach at Syracuse. What's the closest you came to taking another job?
I talked to Ohio State in my living room in 86 or 87, and I we were 5 minutes in the conversation. I knew I was just not going to Ohio State. And I actually recommended Gary Williams for the job. And they were smart. They went out and got him. Great coach. But that was it. It's the only interview I ever had. I came to Syracuse in 62, and I never have wanted to leave. And I'm not leaving now. I live in Syracuse. It's my favorite city to live in the world if I had a choice, as I've said many times. And it's just a great place to be.
You look at the future of let's look at the future of March Madness. Yeah. I have a source who just sent me a lot of details about what could happen with March Madness. And, you know, do you have the haves and the have-nots? I know they love the Cinderella story, but I wonder if these, you know, everybody in the SEC and the ACC and the Big Ten's going like, why are we entertaining this? Why don't we have our own model? And right. and I think that's where the sport is going to be headed here.
I think even if they go there with the Power Fives breaking away, I think the basketball tournament should always include everybody. And I think it will. I think if you expand it a little bit, which you could do very easily without hurting the tournament, you have play-in games right now. Just go to three more sites and add a few more teams. But at the end of the day, I think the tournament, you like those teams. They're not going anywhere in most cases, but it's still fun, and there will be upsets. There will be upsets this year. Basketball is much, much more equal now, and it's much harder to really determine who should, who shouldn't be in. But for the most part, they get the right teams in. I think the problem with the net, it's not accurate. It really shows what you did in November and December, and if your league doesn't do well, then you can't recover. Yeah. For example, right now, Duke's playing the best of anybody in the country. They're a what, four seed?
I think five.
Five. That's based on they didn't have their starting point guard. They didn't have one of their best freshmen early in the year. They lost some games. Well, that is okay for getting in the tournament. But once you get teams in the tournament, the committee should be looking and saying, well, which teams really are the best teams now?
Yeah.
Duke's the best. At the worst, they're in the top 8 to 10 teams, at the worst. Whereas there's some other teams that played really well early, lose 6 or 7 games at the end of the year, their seeding is too high, but because they're basing on the whole year. It's all right to base entry into the tournament on the whole year, but when you get to seeding, you got to go with who's really good right now. This is the team that's really good. And the same happens in leagues. Last year we won 14 games in our league, and we got five teams in. We got five teams in again this year, and that's 1/3 of our league. Some leagues are getting 60 or 70% of the teams in their league in. They're not doing that well in the tournament. There's a league that hasn't won a game in years getting a bunch of teams in the tournament. I think there has to be some value put on you get in the tournament based on winning your league, basically.
Yeah.
But if your league doesn't do well in the tournament year after year after year after year, then there needs to be some kind of thought put into that. But that's just an observation from somebody that's been around too long, probably.
Can you fill out a bracket now? Do you want to be?
Oh yeah, I do.
Do you want to fill? Do you want to be in our bracket challenge, our celebrity bracket challenge?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, Fritzy, you'll reach out to Coach. And do I have to call you Coach, or are you former Coach now? Like, are you just Jim?
I think former Coach doesn't sound good. I think it's just Coach.
Is that
Jim?
Is that your wife laughing in the background?
Thank you. Well, she set
Thank
up
you, Julie.
The thing, or we wouldn't be talking. If she
oh,
didn't
she
set
did
up
the Zoom. She figured.
Yeah, I did. Hi. Now it's time for I'm going to retire soon.
She says she's retiring, but we're not, because our foundation is going forward and we're going to keep helping kids and stuff like that.
I feel bad for your wife. I mean,
oh no,
thank you, Dan.
She's the unluckiest person.
Oh, you're going home, and she's got to be like, oh my God, go get a hobby.
No. She's already said you've got an office. You're going to get up. You're going to the office. Do not come home until like 5 o'clock. Don't come home for lunch.
Yeah.
No, don't do any of that. It's all set. And it's okay. It's okay. She puts up with me. I'll do whatever she says. Just like all of us.
Yeah.
We don't admit to.
Well, congrats and good luck.
Hey, to do something you love for 47 years is, there's nothing better than that. And getting to know the people I've gotten to know, people, obviously you and a whole lot of other people. I still remember a couple of those Final Fours. We hung out together with Kevin. Fun.
We hung out with Kevin Costner in San Antonio. And, you got all these coaches and you got Costner there. Costner throws that great party. And all he wants to do is talk to you guys about basketball.
Yeah, I mean, he's an unbelievable guy. He loved basketball, and it was so much fun doing that. And it's great to watch him in Yellowstone, which is my favorite show on television, and what he's done there with that show. And, it's fun to see that. See, old guys can still keep going. Like, you've got years left, Dan.
Yeah.
In fact, if your ratings go down, I'll join you once a week next year. We'll pump them up a little bit.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now we're talking. Now I'm going to retire. You will say something crazy. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You're guaranteed to do that.
Guaranteed. And, I try not to. My wife says, don't say that.
We've I think, perfected our impersonation of you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All right.
This one?
Paulie, ask me a question.
Coach, what do you think of your defense in the game against Georgetown?
No, that's not good enough. And by the way, we're not playing all zone defense next year at Syracuse. I'm making that prediction right
now. Wow. Syracuse comes out of the Stone Age. No more matchup zone. Wow. That's great. Have a great time there in Detroit. Thank you, Coach. Great to talk to you again.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. He's the co-host of Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, ESPN NFL Insider, and ESPN's NFL free agency coverage continues all this week with Field Yates and company, including a daily SportsCenter special hosted by Field. And that's today and tomorrow at 3 Eastern on ESPN, leading into NFL Live. And Field joins us now. Field, thanks for joining us. Let's recap yesterday. A lot of times we like to look at the shiny objects, quarterbacks, big names. Who won yesterday?
First of all, it's great to be on, Dan. It's also great that you'd ask me about something that doesn't involve Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers, which has occupied about 97% of my brain space over the past, not just 24 hours, but really the entire, certainly going back to last week, maybe even before that, much of the offseason. Free agency is definitely one of those exercises in which how things look at the outset can vary from how they look a year or two or three from right now. So if 3 years from now, the people or the teams that I mentioned have all been cut or turned out to be busts, I apologize in advance, but it's kind of what you sign up for when you discuss free agency. But I think yesterday, if we're looking at some of the big winners, I think that the Bears collectively got a lot better defense and on offense as well. And this sort of stands to reason. They entered with the most cap space in the NFL, coming off of a 3-win season that included 10 losses to finish up the year. If you factor in not just the draft picks, but also DJ Moore and the trade down from pick number one, this team is an obvious make a leap candidate for next year. So the Bears strike me as a winner. And then the 49ers are a team that I did not anticipate making a big splash in free agency, but they made arguably the biggest splash of the day with Javon Hargrave. And you might be thinking to yourself, they were the best defense in the NFL. Do they really need another defensive lineman? It might be a bit superfluous, but I suppose doubling down on your great strength can hopefully take you a step further than where you were this past year. They've got major question marks at quarterback, but I don't know how you're supposed to gain chunk yardage against the 49ers, because that defensive line is loaded and it's matched by an awesome linebacker group and a very good secondary team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that was the biggest signing so far, that I didn't know that they were in the market for that, and you get him, and I thought he was an underrated beast for the Eagles there. And that's sometimes you look at these signings and you go, no, oh, okay, I'll file that away. And then you realize to make it a great team, you have to have a team. And when you get these guys and you go, wow, or that unit, and they're able to buy the, or, you know, afford these guys because you're not paying anything with your quarterbacks right now. So
that's right. Yeah. You know, one of the most interesting competitions already for the quarterback spot, though, right? With the addition of Sam Darnold and then the uncertainty surrounding Brock Purdy's availability at the beginning of the year. He's just recently had surgery on that elbow that was obviously injured in the NFC Championship game. If he can't even throw until, it sounds like best case scenario is sometime during training camp, is it reasonable to expect him to be a week one starter? I don't know the answer to that. I think you throw Trey Lance into the mix, who, you know, they moved at one point 3 picks to get all the way up to number 3 to take Trey Lance. But if you go all the way back to his college experience, which playing at North Dakota State, they had their entire season except for one game canceled during the initial COVID year, We're talking about a guy that, for all intents and purposes, has played like four games in about 1,000 days. Yeah. We're talking about four real games of football, not even preseason action. So the 49ers defensively, that sets the floor for them. But I think ultimately what will determine whether they can get back to where they were last year and win a Super Bowl is whether any of those quarterbacks can be good enough and healthy enough for the full season.
Explain the logic with the Raiders that you move on from Derek Carr and you bring in Jimmy G.
It's funny how much familiarity matters in life, right? And it permeates other industries for sure, but we see it all over the place in the NFL. And I'll use other examples to make the same point that I'll make about the Raiders, which is yesterday, the Falcons were one of the bigger spending teams in free agency. This is not the entire list, but amongst the players they added were David Onyemata, defensive tackle from the New Orleans Saints, and Kaden Ellis, a linebacker from the New Orleans Saints. Turns out the Falcons general manager, Terry Fontenot, came from New Orleans. Same with their defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen, who was hired like 6 weeks ago. Typically, you see teams pursue players they are familiar with, and sometimes with a tax as well. You might overpay for things that you see value in that other teams don't necessarily see, but it applies to Las Vegas. A consistent theme for Josh McDaniels since taking this job is making this New England West. And there have been other examples of trying to replicate the Patriots model that have not worked at all. But he hired a GM in Dave Ziegler, who was in the Patriots front office. His coaching staff is littered with coaches that came directly from New England, or both of his coordinators were at one point on the Patriots staff. And then the roster's got plenty of guys with New England ties. And Jimmy G entered the league with the Patriots, as we all know. But did it again with Jacoby Myers, who they just signed to a three-year deal worth $11 million per season. It's economically a little bit more manageable to have this current contract for Jimmy G than Derek Carr's deal. It's about a $30-ish million payday for Jimmy G, maybe more like 27, 28, depending on how many incentives he hits, as opposed to Derek Carr, which was closer to $40 million. But it's a familiarity thing more than anything. He knows Jimmy G. He knows the way he operates, the kind of player he is. And I think that Josh McDaniels has more confidence that there will be harmony because, well, it wasn't perfect last year for Derek Carr. I don't look at last season up until he got benched as an abject failure either. I think the offense was, for the most part, okay. They just couldn't close on defense, and they kept finding crazy ways to lose in some incredibly memorable fashion.
We're talking to Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider. The plan B for the Jets, let's say they don't get Aaron Rodgers. And I know Trey Wingo is reporting that this deal is done. But if they don't get him, then what happens?
It's probably one of the questions that I've been asked, both solicited and unsolicited, over the past 24 hours the most is, you know, people around the NFL are wondering, and if Aaron doesn't go to New York, what exactly happens? And to be clear, and I'm trying to not do any shows this week that are taped because 5 minutes from right now, whatever I say could change with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But as of right now, it certainly seems like Aaron Rodgers is headed for the Jets. Not only has there been plenty of momentum independent of anything else happening with other players around the NFL, but Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb are all of a sudden on the Jets radar, kind of has like the Kevin Durant / Kyrie Irving vibe when they go to the Brooklyn Nets and all of a sudden all their friends are on the radar as well. But if Aaron Rodgers opts for retirement or something else, and I don't really think something else isn't playing for the Packers is on the table, then I think the Jets are going to find themselves in a heap of trouble. I think people will assume they would try to make a push for Lamar Jackson. I will remind everybody that if you're going to try to sign Lamar Jackson, you have to construct a contract that Baltimore won't match, which is very hard to do.
But that's what makes me wonder, and I've suggested this, whether it could come to fruition. But if I'm Daniel Snyder and I'm on my way out and I want to give a middle finger to the other owners, I bring in Lamar Jackson and I give him a five-year, $240 million guaranteed contract, get my $7 billion from Jeff Bezos, and I say, see ya, I'll be in the south of France.
I kind of like the idea, and I have heard it. A lot of my Commanders fans' friends have reached out and wondered as much as well. It would certainly, I would think it would alter maybe not that much, but at least a tiny bit, the legacy of Dan Snyder in the eyes of Commanders fans, right? That would be an incredible parting gift to leave the franchise with. I think the Commanders are probably going to run into the same restrictions that we discussed with the Jets, though, is that it will be very difficult for them to agree to a contract with Lamar Jackson that the Ravens would be de-incentivized to match. And I know that this is minutia and kind of...
Well, the Ravens won't match that. The Ravens aren't going to match that.
Well, the nerdy part of this is that if Lamar Jackson signs an offer sheet with somebody else, which, again, that's a big if, but if he were, the Ravens would have 5 full business days to match or not match that deal, and they would take their entire time, the entire window, to decide on that, which would hold up the other team's order of operations. They would no longer, like, that money would be counting against their salary cap, even if the Ravens were to not match the deal. So as much as it's tantalizing for a team that would love to add a unanimous MVP and one of the great running quarterbacks ever in the league, I do think that the details and the semantics that go into it make it a bit more difficult of a business transaction than fans would like for it to be.
Okay, but when Joe Burrow comes up and Justin Herbert comes up, I got to believe if I'm their agent, I'm starting at Deshaun Watson's number.
It's going to be the really fascinating one, because you're right. If those players are stacking their credentials up to Deshaun Watson's credentials, then I think they would probably say, especially in the case of Joe Burrow, who has led his team to the playoffs, twice, including the Super Bowl once, that I think they're probably going to say, if you're Joe Burrow and his representation, why don't we deserve exactly what Deshaun Watson got and more?
Sure.
Whether you agree with this or not, I do believe that the Bengals' counter would be, that's fine, but just a couple of years ago, I guess 3 off seasons ago now, Patrick Mahomes, who had already won a Super Bowl, did not get a fully guaranteed contract. 2 years ago, Josh Allen, who is at least in the same breadth, if not, you know, the same tier as Joe Burrow, maybe above Justin Herbert, signed a deal for $43 million per year that had like $100 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So I think that what's clear is players and representation are going to use the Deshaun Watson deal as the baseline. Teams are going to continue to push back with the rest of the quarterback market, not including Deshaun Watson.
If you ran the Carolina Panthers, who are you taking?
If I ran the Carolina Panthers, it'd be Bryce Young. I say, as of right now, and we're what? So about 6 weeks away from the draft. And you have to be very careful taking anything that is said or whispered with much more than a grain of salt. But I would say that more people that I have talked to who have offered up an opinion believe that CJ Stroud is a more likely number one overall pick than Bryce Young for the Panthers. Mm-hmm. But I think that what's clear is if each of the top 4 quarterbacks in this year's draft were built identically in terms of physical stature, Bryce Young would be number one on all 32 teams' boards. But the 5'10", 204-foot frame, and by the way, that 204-pound frame, I should say, that was like after a concerted effort in the 3 weeks leading up to the combine to get him up to that weight. That's the concern. That is what people are losing sleep over right now if they are doing the evaluation of Bryce Young. And I've heard everybody that follows college football tell me it didn't impact him at Alabama. That's correct. He also played behind a 5-star offensive line at basically every position. And Aaron Donald doesn't play in the SEC, right? And Chris Jones doesn't, or at least does not now, play in the SEC. He did during his college days. And if you're 100 pounds or 125 pounds lighter than a defensive tackle and he comes bearing down on you, I get it. Not like any quarterback is exactly the size of Chris Jones, but you know, Josh Allen might be 50 pounds heavier than Bryce Young, right? It's just a different level of body armor that these quarterbacks who are built at a much more sort of Greek godlike stature possess than Bryce Young. But I think CJ Stroud maybe has a higher floor because of some of the, in some ways, not always, but in some ways has a higher floor, or at least less risk, I should say, because there's just not the same fear about a potential hit that could leave him in a whole bunch of pain and potentially banged up just because of his size.
Good to talk to you, Field. I know you're a busy guy. Have fun later today.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up, and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.